It's a 11:45, and domestic violence is still rife in Australian homes, with an average of one woman a week being murdered by their current or former partner. The causes of violence towards women are, of course, complex and have deep historical and cultural roots, but research has revealed that evangelical Christian churches as an institution have been responsible for normalizing, if not promoting, violence against women. We're joined now by Vicky Lowick, a PhD candidate at CQ University, to talk about this. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, Sam.
So, Vicky, if we look at your research, what is it revealing about domestic violence in evangelical Christian households?
Okay, well, my research takes a significant view of one woman's life. It's a retrospective view of how domestic violence developed in her relationship over 3 decades,
mm-hmm.
and it shows it's been underpinned by the male headship doctrine, which promotes the man in authority over his wife in all aspects of their marital relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And this has resulted in, as with many women who go through domestic violence, significant outcomes of poverty and mental and physical trauma.
Right. And so, you know, I think you've touched on it a little bit there, but what is it about the institution that enables or encourages domestic violence? You mentioned this, you know, male hierarchy,
yes.
But...
Yeah. So there are teachings. So we have the male headship doctrine, which is drawn from Ephesians in the New Testament, and it enables men who take an incorrect reading. So it can be promoted that both men and women submit to each other. But always within a community, you're going to have some people who are going to have more of a perception towards wanting to have privilege in a relationship, male privilege in a relationship. And so they are enabled through these beliefs to control their wives. And particularly if a woman is wanting to be, you know, part of a faith community, she's wanting to be, you know, a good Christian wife. And if she is... told from the beginning of the relationship that this is the expectation, and particularly if she's new into the church, this particular woman in my case study came from the Catholic Church into an evangelical church, and within a community of people who are promoting a life of faith and, you know, adhering to what God is requiring of them, they can be vulnerable, as this woman was, to being coerced into a relationship on these foundations, which is what happened to her. The coercion started early and continued for 3 decades.
Now, this message that, you know, about women submitting to men's authority, why is it proven so persistent or, I guess, resilient in this particular form of Christianity?
Well, I think it reflects what is happening in society generally. So we have a lot of conservative right-wing beliefs. You know, when feminism started to rise, so did the backlash against it, and as well as it happening in general society and in institutions in wider society, it also happened within the church because, you know, women were then promoting themselves as able to be senior ministers in a church environment.
Yeah.
And so obviously this put many male leaders and men under threat. So one way to combat that obviously is to ensure that women are kept oppressed, which
right.
is what.
Yeah. And you talk about a lack of data or research on Australia in particular. Mm-hmm. Why is there such a lack of this information?
Okay, to get a significant reading on what is happening throughout the Christian church in Australia, you'd need it to be included in one of our Australian Bureau of Statistics personal safety surveys to get a good reading. But there is significant research that shows it is happening. Julia Baird and Hayley Gleeson from the ABC have done significant research into the Anglican Church. And Sam, where one woman is being affected through these teachings, it would be ignorant of anyone to not consider that there are more women who are being who are vulnerable to it. And obviously, when one woman speaks out, other women put their hand up and say, "That's my story too." So whenever this research has been discussed in a public forum, there are always other people putting their hand up and saying, "That is my story too." So until we can get a significant population-based survey, it is the responsibility of domestic violence researchers and other people in the community to stand up mm-hmm. to be the voices of women who are trapped in relationships and aren't able to have the resources to stand up against it. Mm-hmm. So if we can put it out there and have one woman be educated in what is happening to her is not right. It is coercive and controlling, and it is not the fullness of a Christian faith.
Mm-hmm. And Vicky, then, is then the key to changing this toxic culture, speaking up and you know, having people, you know, bring it to account? Is that
definitely.
What we need?
Yeah, definitely. Just like what you're doing this morning, Sam. So there would be at least one woman who will hear this and go, that is my story. And she needs to know that behaviors where she is controlled, these are coercive and controlling behaviors. And often women, unless the domestic violence also has a physical component to it, they may not be aware that it is actually domestic violence.
Mm.
You know, so they need to seek support and seek support from, you know, community-based specialist organizations who can advise them for their safety.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk to us about it. Thanks a lot.
And thank you for highlighting this issue.
Yes, of course.
Thank you so much.
Yes, that was Vicky Lowick, PhD candidate at CQ University. And of course, if you are looking for support or help, you can always call up 1-800-RESPECT or 1-800-737-732, Domestic and Family Violence Counseling Service.